Let me ask you a question. Who here likes to win? Yes. I absolutely love winning. I don't know if it's that I love winning or hate losing. It doesn't matter. But I was thinking about this when I was growing up. I liked to win, but I really hated losing. I mean, I was a bad loser. When I was like, I'd punch my brother, I'd bite him, you know, I'd do all kind of goofy things if he beat me when we were playing a game. And then as I got older and in like, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old and I'd play sports, I hated losing. And so if my team was losing, I wanted to stop playing, but I didn't want to be a quitter. So my family would tell you I had this thing that I would do that if we were losing and it was towards the end of the game, I didn't want to quit. So all of a sudden I would get a stomach ache. And I'd get this stomach ache and I'd be like, coach, my stomach hurts. And then I'd sit on the sideline and pout because we lost. Now I've gotten better at losing as I've grown up. And so I don't get as many stomach aches, but I still love to win. And I joke around for the most part. I say, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. Because you got to do anything you can to win. I just like winning. There's something about that. And the Bible actually tells us that we should desire to win, that we should endeavor to win, that something inside of us should say, I want to win. As a matter of fact, writing to the Christians in a city called Corinth, Paul talks about this. And they were very familiar with the whole idea of athletics and competition and sports. The city of Corinth hosted a sporting event every 2 years. It was similar to the Olympics, but it was every 2 years and it was a little bit smaller in scale. And so they had athletes there training all the time regularly. And so when he talked about training and preparing for athletics, they understood the context of what he was writing. And this is what it says in 1 Corinthians. I want to read a passage starting in chapter 9, verse 24. It says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. Everyone say, run to win. Run to win. Paul doesn't say, run to get a participation trophy. He doesn't say, run for fun. He doesn't say, run because it's part of your bucket list and you can say, I did it. Look, I competed. He says, run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. Therefore, speaking of himself, but it applies to all of us, run with purpose in every step, not just shadow boxing. I discipline myself, training to do what I should. There is something that we need to look at when it comes to our lives. Why is it that sometimes we feel like we're not winning? What is it that's keeping us from being successful? Why sometimes do we say, I want to press on in the things of God, but I don't feel like I'm winning. I feel like I have a spiritual stomach ache, and I don't want to keep going, and I want to fold my arms and pout. It may be because we need to take a new approach in our spiritual lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, and God, I'm asking that you would help us to receive from your word this morning. God, we don't need to ask you to anoint your word. Your word is already anointed. But I do ask that you would anoint my words this morning. That anything that I speak that is right and good and true and holy, God, it would take root in our hearts. It would change us. Help us to become more like you. Anything that I say that's off base, that may be misguided in some way, God, help us quickly to forget that. So that when we leave here, we would say to each other, we've heard from the Lord this morning. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. So we're in this series called Press On. And the whole idea of this series is that when you want your life to change at some level, you have to look beyond behavior modification. So much of the world that we live in today is simply about changing, modifying your behavior. But what we learned early on is that we're not looking for behavior modification. We're looking for character transformation. And if you're going to press on in the things of God, if you're going to experience transformation, what we learned is that for change to be transformational, it has to be spiritual. And so we started at the very beginning and said, you need to identify your spiritual how and why. Why do I want to change? And that's linked to your plan and purpose, God's plan and purpose for your life. But you also need a spiritual how. How am I going to change? And what we learned, and this is foundational, if you miss this, the rest of this series is going to sound like a whole lot of work. And so what we learned is that your spiritual how is not by your effort, by your strength, by your ability, but God's. And you have to have this idea that resonates in your heart, that he is greater than me, he is greater than me, he is greater than me. Greater is he that's in me than any spirit out there, any effort out there, anything in the world that's not by my strength or my power, but by the Spirit of the living God. So that's the foundation. But then we also said you also need to have a spiritual who. Who did God create you to be? Because you'll do what you do based on how you see you. So you have to add to that, he is calling me to be. Who is he calling me to be? And then we said, you need to have a spiritual what. What is it, those spiritual disciplines that you need to begin to foster in your life? And so we also have this part. It says, He wants me to do. He wants me to do something, to begin something, to start something, pray, fast, meditate on his word, serve, give. What does he want me to start to do? Those spiritual disciplines, those spiritual practices. And then last week we said there's also a spiritual where. Where is God leading you? And if he's leading you somewhere, if you're going to get to where he's leading you, there might be some things that you need to stop doing that are impeding your progress. So he is telling me to stop. So we have a spiritual how and a spiritual why and a spiritual who and a spiritual what and a spiritual where. And once we have those things, what we're going to find today is that we can then begin to adjust, to adopt a new spiritual approach. Because what I found is that most of us, when it comes to our lives spiritually, and probably even outside of our spiritual lives, just our lives in general, what we tend to do, our approach spiritually is to try. We try real hard. We try our best. We tell people all the time, I'm trying to ... I'm trying to lose weight. I'm trying to save money. I'm trying to do whatever. So trying would sound like this. I'm trying to get closer to God. I'm trying to be more patient. I'm trying to read God's word. I'm trying to pray more. I'm trying to be more gracious and kind. And we try and we try and we try. The problem with trying is it can often feel like two steps forward and three steps back. So it'll be something like this. You'll say, I'm really trying to cultivate relationships that have depth and intimacy and a connection with people that's beyond the superficial. And because I want my relationships to reflect God's love and his goodness and his grace and his tenderness. So I'm really trying to have those kind of relationships. But the more I try, the more my marriage seems to struggle, the more my relationships seem to fracture, the more things seem to fall apart. I'm really trying to honor God with my finances. And yet the more I try to honor God with my finances, the worse my finances seem to become. I'm really trying to do all these things, and yet every time I try to take a step in that direction, it seems like things get worse. I'm trying and I'm trying and I'm trying and I'm trying. And yet, nothing is changing. Who says that kind of feels like me sometimes? Try real hard, but nothing seems to change. Or if it changes, it doesn't seem to be a lasting change. That is how so many of us approach our lives. We try real hard, but the Bible, this is amazing. Nowhere in the Bible does it ever tell us to try to love one another. Nowhere in the Bible does it say to try to honor God. Nowhere in the Bible does it say try to be a godly person. As a matter of fact, this is what Paul wrote in 1 Timothy. He says, train yourself for godliness. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, I have to train my body. I have to discipline myself. I have to run in such a way that I win. And that doesn't happen unless I do some training. So what we have to do is change our approach. We have to shift our approach. Our spiritual approach can't be to try really hard. Our spiritual approach needs to be to train really hard. And it may sound like semantics, but sometimes one word changes everything. And when we begin to shift our approach to not trying really hard, but training really hard, all of a sudden it can be a turning point in our lives. Because one thing I've learned is this, trying requires minimal commitment. Why? Because we kind of show up and hope. We show up and hope that something happens. We show up and hope that we can keep this thing going. We show up and hope that it'll make a difference. We show up and hope that something will happen, but we've already kind of got a built-in excuse. We've already given ourselves permission to fail because you know what? And people will say this to me all the time. And if you've ever been around these creatures called children, you know this. And if you've been married and you have a thing called a spouse, you know this. What will they say to you? I'm trying. Okay. So if I'm trying and I fail, that's my excuse, but I tried, but that's not what the Bible tells us to do. But we've got this built-in excuse, like, I'm trying to eat better, but I've got a sweet tooth. I'm trying to be more kind to people, but I have a short temper. I can't help it, but I'm trying, I really am. I'm trying to be honest and tell the truth all the time, but I'm just the kind of person that lies. But I'm really trying. I mean, I'm trying to pray, but I'm so easily distracted. And because we're trying, that's our excuse. So it takes a minimal commitment. I tried. I mean, what do you expect? I tried. But training is completely different than trying. Training requires wholehearted commitment. Training says, I'm going to show up and work. I'm going to show up and put the effort in. I'm going to show up and keep applying myself over and over and over again. See, trying says this, I've got the gear and I wear the gear. I've got the gym membership. I pay for it. Trying says I have the gear and I wear the gear and look at me. Training says I wear out the gear. I will wear it out. I will wear out the sneakers. I have to buy new stuff because I'm working so hard. And so many of us have tried. We've tried for years. And we've got the gear sitting in our closet, sitting in our bookshelves. We've got the devotions and we've got the books. I know some of you that have the counselor's phone number and the counselor's name. I know some of you that have gone to the counselor, but you don't follow up and you don't put the work in and you don't train and you don't do what the counselor said. And then what do you say? I tried. No, you didn't. Well, I guess you tried, but it's minimal commitment. Training requires wholehearted commitment. It requires a plan. It requires consistency. It requires sacrifice. It requires investment. So you show up, you keep growing, you keep changing, you keep moving forward. Even when you don't see the progress that you want, you just stay at it. You say, I'll invest my time. I'll find a mentor. I'll spend the money. I'll show up. I'll do the things over and over and over again. And people will say, I don't know how you do it. I mean, I don't have the time. I don't have the money. I can't do those things. How are you able to do it? It's not that I have more time than anyone else. We all have 24 hours in a day. And it's not that I have more money than many of you, because many of you have more money than I do. It's because somebody has made it a commitment, a priority to say, I am so committed to this, I will sacrifice for it. I will invest in it. I will show up time after time after time. Because they're training for something. They're not just trying and hoping and wishing and showing up. And if something changes, great. And if not, then I could say I tried. So what is that? Let me give you an example for me. As a pastor, as a preacher. I stopped trying to be a good pastor and preacher a long time ago. He's trying his best. I stopped trying to be a good pastor and preacher a long time ago. And I know some of you are like, okay, well, you're not one. So... What are you doing? No, I decided a long time ago, God, train me to be someone that's useful to the master. Fit for the master, saying that I could be found useful to help advance your kingdom, that I could be useful in being part of growing your church. God, train me in your ways so that I can accomplish the things that you have for me. But I tried years ago when I first became stepped into full-time ministry. I tried to be a good pastor. I tried to be a good preacher. It's exhausting, and it didn't get me anywhere. So what I learned is this: trying will demoralize you, but training will transform you. Training transforms you. Trying demoralizes you. Because training, listen to me, training over and over and over consistently and regularly over time will change your life. It doesn't happen immediately, and sometimes in the training, you don't want to do it anymore. You're not seeing the progress. Your body's not changing. Your relationship isn't changing. Your finances aren't changing. But because you're committed to the training, you keep going. And over time, you see the transformation happen and you say it was worth it. Way back then, when I started saving, and I put that money in that account, and they said this thing called compounding interest, and I didn't understand it, but I kept at it. And 30 years later, 40 years later, man, I'm glad I was consistent in what I did, that I didn't just try once and put, some money in the bank and say, it didn't work and didn't do anything. But I was consistent and I trained myself to save. Whatever it is, I just got to be consistent in honoring God. I want to train in that. But trying, it's exhausting. I'm trying to be a better wife. I'm trying to be a better husband. I'm trying to be a good woman of faith. I'm trying to be a man of integrity and a man of God. I'm trying to be a better friend. I'm trying to be a good student. I'm trying to be a better friend. I'm trying to be a good child. I'm trying, and it's exhausting, and I'm trying to be a good employer and a good employee, and I'm trying to be patient, and I'm trying to be kind, and I'm trying to be all these things. And yet it never seems to work. And so we throw up our hands and we quit and we stop trying. But when you train, you say, I'm going to keep training and keep training and keep training. In the martial, does anybody here do martial arts? Oh, okay. What does a black belt represent? I mean, the person who raised their hand doesn't need to answer that question. What most people say is a black belt represents somebody who is the best at that discipline. But you know what? There's a different way to look at it. A black belt represents a white belt that never stopped training. I got the white belt when I first started. I couldn't beat the black belt. I can't beat any belt. I got my belt right there. I got the white belt. I started. I couldn't beat anybody, but I kept at it. I kept training, and I got yellow and purple and brown and whatever the colors are, and now I've got a black belt. Why? Because I started here, but I never stopped training, and I kept going. And so you and I need to just say, okay, God, I'm going to commit to the training. I'm going to commit to moving forward. I'm not going to stop. See, every time you read the Bible, every time you pray, every time you give, every time you serve, you're training yourself. Stop saying, I tried once. No, I'm training myself. I'm training. Every time I put others before myself, every time I forgive someone, every time I ask for forgiveness and then ask God to change me, I'm training. Every time I say, God, help me to take my thoughts captive, I'm training. Every time that I say, God, I'm going to say no to things that keep me from getting to church on Sunday mornings. Every time you show up like you did today, you're training. Every time that you do those things that say, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow Jesus and not my heart. I'm training. And it takes time and it takes consistency. Because if you say I'm going to try and you try once and it doesn't work, then you give up. But if you're training, over time, it will transform you. You go to the gym, and you try once, and you don't look buff, and you don't look thin, and nothing has changed, and you say, well, I tried. But if you go to the gym consistently and train consistently over time, it will transform you. Training will transform you physically. It will transform you financially. It will transform you spiritually. It will transform you relationally. It will transform you emotionally. But we have to be consistent. We can't just say, I tried. The reason that so many of us give up is either that we try or we don't like the training. We show up, we try, we hope, nothing changes, or we quit. Or we say, I'm going to train, I'm going to do this. And we don't like the training, and the results aren't fast enough, and so we throw up our hands and we quit. I was thinking about this, and it reminded me of the Karate Kid. Who remembers the Karate Kid? And Cobra Kai came out a few years ago, and that just wrapped up. And now there's a new Karate Kid coming out based on that whole universe later this year. And all those things are great and fun, and you can watch those. I'm talking about the 1984 original Karate Kid. I love that movie. But I thought about it in this context. If you remember the movie, right, there's this young man named Daniel LaRusso. And his life is turned upside down. His mom moves him, just the two of them, from New Jersey all the way out to California and L.A. And he can't find any friends. And he's getting bullied. And he's getting picked on. And he's mad. And he's mad at the world. And he's mad at life. Nothing's fair. And he's trying to teach himself karate from a book. And he's getting beat up by guys. And he meets this old janitor, the little repairman at the hotel that apartments that his mom and he live at. And he finds out that he knows karate, and he says, Mr. Miyagi, teach me karate. And Miyagi said, I'm not going to teach you karate, but he just keeps asking. So finally, he says, okay, I'll train you. So he says, we're going to go tomorrow, and we're going to start training. And so I want to play this clip, because it kind of takes the whole idea of trying versus training and why we give up on the training even when we say I'm going to train so quickly. So here it is.
Oh, Mr. Miyagi, I forgot to give this back to you last night.
You'll keep.
Oh, thanks a lot.
So, ready?
Well, yeah, I guess so.
And there's a must talk. Walk on the road. Walk right side, safe. Walk left side, safe. Walk middle, sooner or later, get the squish, just like grip. Here, karate, same thing. Either you karate do yes, or karate do no. You karate do guess so, just like grip. Understand?
Yeah, I understand.
Now ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Yes. Let's make sacred pact. I promise teach karate, that's my part. You promise learn. I say you do, no question. That's your part. Deal?
Steal?
Yes. First wash all the car, then wax.
Wax. But what do I have to wash all the car?
Remember, deal. No question.
Yeah, but
right. Wax on, right hand. Wax off, left hand. Wax on, wax off.
Now, if you remember that movie, then it goes on, and there's all this kind of, I mean, just makes him do all this work around his house, and Daniel gets so mad, and he's angry, and he wants to quit. And it's because we don't like the training. We don't like what the training looks like. We want to become the best at whatever it is that we're doing in a moment. We don't like the work. We don't like the effort. We don't like what the training entails. Or we're like, Daniel, I guess so. I'll try. And what does Miyagi say? Trying is like walking in the middle of the road. You're going to get killed. So either you commit to it or you don't. But don't say, I'm going to try. And so what you need to do is you need to say, okay, God, if I'm going to change my spiritual approach, if I'm going to shift my way of thinking, if I'm going to have this turning point in my life where I stop trying with my own effort and my own strength and my own ability, and I'm going to allow you to train me, then here's what you need to add, and this is so important, that he wants to train me to be. He wants to train me to be. He wants to train me to be. Not how you think, not what you want, not trying to become what you want, not trying to do it the way you want. That's all trying. It's saying, God, you train me how you want to become what you want. In Psalm 144, verse 1, David writes, you train my hands for war. See, God's going to look at you and say, I know what I need to train you for. Some of you, God's going to train you because you're going to have spiritual battles to fight. Some of you, he's going to train you because you're going to be an intercessor. You're going to stand in the gap for people. Some of you, he's going to train to be someone who finances the kingdom. Some of you, he's going to train to be someone who goes out and reaches the lost. Some of you, he's going to train to be someone who brings hope and help to the hurting and the confused. God knows what he's training you to be. So when he says, wax the car, paint the fence, sand the floor, and you say, I don't like this, are you committed to the training? Or are you just wanting what you want, and I'm going to try, and when it doesn't work, I throw out my hands and quit and say, I tried. And that's how so many of us live. And so what you need to do is say, God, what do you want to train me for? Train me in your ways. God, train me to be a person of compassion, of kindness, of love. Train me, God, to be the person that you want me to be. Train me to be the husband, the wife, the friend. Train me to be a child who honors their father and their mother. God, train me in your ways. So what does that mean? It means when you begin to understand and identify your spiritual why and your spiritual how, your spiritual who and your spiritual what and your spiritual where, then all of a sudden you can't start changing your spiritual approach until you have those things figured out. Because otherwise you're going to just try. Because there's nothing to base that commitment on. There's nothing to lock that commitment to. But when you say, I understand all these other things, then you say, God, now help me to change my approach. I understand I can't do this on my own. It's not by my strength or my power, but I need to do this because of why, what you've called me to be, the person you've called me to be, my spiritual who, my spiritual where are you leading me? What do I need to stop? My spiritual what? I'm going to start these things, but I can't start them if I'm not committed to them. So once you have all that stuff identified, then you say, God, change my spiritual approach. That I would stop trying and I would start allowing God to train me. That I would stop trying really hard. Even as hard as you try, it's never going to be enough. So some of you, you need to stop trying to have a great marriage. Just stop. And say, God, train me in how to have a great marriage. You need to say, God, I'm going to stop trying to be someone who is making a difference. And I'm going to allow you to train me to be light in a dark world. To be someone who puts others before themselves. Train me. God, train me. I'm going to stop trying to be a good friend. And instead, God, train me to be someone who lifts up, builds up, and encourages others through their words and their actions. God, train me. And listen, when you're training, there are going to be times when you're tired and when you're sore and when you're stiff and when you're lethargic and when you say the alarm clock went off and I don't really want to do any training today. But here's what I learned. Paul says, run in such a way to win. Winning isn't where you end the race. It's not because you came in first or 12th. Winning is that you trained every day for the race. Winning isn't that you reach some goal that you set for yourself. Winning is that I trained every day to be a godly man, a godly woman, a godly husband, a godly wife. I trained every day. God, form in me Christ-likeness. That's how we win the race. It's not because you have a spiritual stomach ache, because you're losing. It's not because you try real hard and when it doesn't work, you quit because it's the easy way out. It's because you have committed yourself to training. God, who do you want to train me to be? What is it that you want to instill in my life? And I will commit to that consistently and regularly. I'm not just going to try. So many people try. There's a lot of people who try. The world is full of people who have tried. But there's not a lot of people who say, God, train me in righteousness. Train me in godliness. Train me to become the person you want me to be so I could do the things you want me to do. Help me to do it regularly and consistently, to not give up. I know my spiritual why. I know my spiritual how. And now, God, help me change my spiritual approach, because I can't do it on my own. But once I begin to apply myself to training, once I say I am committed and I have a plan and I'm going to show up day after day after day, your life will be transformed and you will become more like Jesus. But it doesn't happen because you tried. It happens because you trained. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. And God, I'm asking that by your grace, you would begin to show us those places in our lives where we've tried over and over and over again, only to come up short over and over and over again, where we say, I'm just tired of this. I'm exhausted. I'm demoralized. I've got nothing left. I can't keep trying. And so we end up with a spiritual stomach ache because we're tired of losing. And we pout in the corner with our arms folded and say, I don't want to do this anymore. And we give up because we've tried. God, would this be a turning point for so many that we would say, I'm done trying, but I'm going to begin training. I'm done trying my hardest. Even when I try the best I can, it never is enough. But when I train hard, when I train consistently, when I make a plan and walk out this commitment, when I allow you, God, to train me, it will change my life. So God, help me today. Help me to train to be the person that you've called me to be. Now, for some of you, your life right now, it just might be spinning in circles. You say, I've tried everything I know how to do. I've tried and tried and tried. And nothing seems to work in my life. Here's the wonderful good news. You can keep trying and keep failing, or you can stop trying and start trusting in a God who loves you, in a God who said, I know you can try as much as you want, but you'll never be able to find success apart from me. And all you have to do is say, God, I'm going to call upon you. I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to rely on you. And God's word, the Bible tells us, when we call on the name of the Lord, we'll be saved. He'll reach in and say, it's not by your effort. It's not by your might. It's not by your ability. It's not by your works, because if it was by your works, you could boast, but it's by my grace. And so if you're done trying to make your life work, all you need to do is lay down your life and say, God, I give you my life and I receive new life in Christ. If you don't know who Jesus is the Son of God, perfect in every way, who looked down at you and me and all of humanity and said they can't try hard enough to find their way back. And so I will come down in the form of a person and I will live a perfect life, but I will die a brutal death. And in that death, I will take upon myself all of their sins, all of their mess ups, all of their mistakes, all of their transgressions. And if you would call on me and you ask me to forgive you, then my sacrifice will take your place. I'll take your sin. I'll take your shame. I'll take your shortcomings. And I'll give you new life in Christ. You don't have to try anymore. I've done it all. If that's you this morning, then all you need to do is pray, God, forgive me. God, I accept that life and that invitation that Jesus made to me. And when you do that, he'll come into your life and he'll change you. And he'll fill you with the Holy Spirit so that you can live for him. So at any time, you can pray that prayer now, today, this evening, some point. You say, God, forgive me. God, I'm sorry. I've messed up. But I accept that gift of grace through Jesus Christ. And you start a new life with Christ. And then just tell somebody. Tell someone in your family. Tell a spouse, a child, a parent. Tell a friend. Tell the person you came with this morning. They would love to know about it. And they'd love to help you now live that new life in Christ that he came to give you. But I'm going to ask now if you'd all stand with me. We're going to end with one last song. Because when it comes to training, when it comes to allowing God to train us, the reality is we can't do it on our own. We can't do it on our own. We have to depend on Him for everything. His job is to train us. Our job is to learn. Our job is to do what He asks with no questions. To depend on Him for everything that we need in the training so that we can become who He wants us to be. So as we sing this song, let's remember, God, we depend on You to train us, to lead us, to guide us, and to change us.